The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Speak for today. Today I'm preaching on the topic cultivating a mindset for wealth creation. Cultivating a mindset for wealth creation. We started 3 weeks ago with having an encounter with the wealth creator. Then last Wednesday, we dealt with the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "For it is the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth." And we went to explain in details the circumstances that led to this pronouncement by Moses. We also went ahead to look at the details of some words and the implications that it has on our lives. Today we are looking at the topic of cultivating a mindset for wealth creation. Now, what is a mindset? Number one, a mindset is an established pattern of attitudes. It's an established pattern of attitudes held by someone that is a product of the way they think. It's an established pattern of attitudes held by someone, and that is a product of the way they think. Let me explain. In other words, a mindset is a product of the thoughts of a person, which has come to be established as a pattern of life and is showing in the attitudes of the person. So whether the person will be fearful or courageous depends on the mindset. Whether the person will be determined or committed or will run away depends on the mindset. A certain set of attitudes have been cultivated in a certain direction because of the frequent thoughts of that individual. Number two, a mindset is how you interpret and respond to events or situations based on your mental attitude. Take it again. A mindset is how you interpret and respond to events or situations based on your mental attitude. Now, anytime something happens around us, the first thing we do is to interpret it. Why did I not do well? Why did I fail to go to the next step? Why is it that there's a certain trend in my family? The first thing you're doing is that you're trying to interpret what is happening. Then after that, it determines your response. Because if you think you understand it well, you may go and pray about it, or you may be meditating on the Word of God about it. So it's how you interpret and respond to certain situations based on your mental attitude. There are some people that anything that happens in their lives, they ascribe it to witchcraft. There are some people, anything that happens in their lives, they say somebody does not like them. Now, our mindset involves our values, the values that you cultivate. Whether you are going for a value of honesty or deceitful life, your mindset is reflected in it. Whether you're going for a valley of hard work and diligence, or you're going to be lazy, it's reflecting in it. Also, your mindset has your beliefs. What you permit in your mind will drop in your heart. And at the end of the day, it will form the core of your belief. So if you, like Israel, feel that you are not able to take the promised land because you saw the descendants of Anak there and that they are likely to defeat you, you will respond negatively. But if you find yourself like Caleb and Joshua, who said, "We are well able to take it at once, let us go." So we take the victory, then it's reflective of your values, your beliefs, and thirdly, it's reflective of your feelings. Your feelings will develop into passions. Your feelings will give you a certain drive. A drive whether to sit in the wilderness and say, "Let us make ourselves a leader and return to Egypt, because we have no water to drink, the shortage of water, or we have no manna or food to eat." Whatever it is, there are some feelings that will be evoked in your life. They may be positive feelings, they may be negative feelings. So in Psalm, your mindset involves your values, your beliefs, and your feelings. Now I'm going to give a third definition of mindset. Mindset is your frame of mind. It's the disposition of your mind. It's the inclination of your mind. Where does your mind lean to? Does it lean to the left or it leans to the right? Is your mind leaning backwards and looking at people who have hurt you that you cannot forgive? Or is your mind looking forward? You are despising the hurts and you are looking forward. So your mindset is your frame of mind. It's your disposition. It's your inclination. There are different kinds of mindset, and I'm going to give you a few. Number one, a mindset of dreams or visions, or a mindset of no dreams and no visions. The way you orient your mind is the way your mind will work. What you feed into your mind determines how it works. Secondly, you can have a mind of success or failure. Because you have attempted a few times and you were not successful, you have tended to give up and you believe that you cannot go back at the thing again. So you may have cultivated a mindset of success or a mindset of failure. Three, you can have a positive or negative mindset. I mean, for you, you can be a pessimist or an optimist. A pessimist looks at life from the negative side always, and an optimist looks at life from the positive side. Now, somebody says, when you have a bottle filled with water and you pour half away and you ask the optimist and the pessimist to describe it, they will say something. The pessimist will say that it is half empty, but the optimist will say it is half full. It is determined by what the person is seeing. So if your whole life you are seeing things negatively or you are seeing things positively, it will reflect in the actions or the steps that you take. The fourth one is a mindset of growth or stagnation. Are you cultivating a mindset that you want to grow and become better? You want to grow in understanding, grow in wisdom, grow in knowledge, grow in blessings, or you are stagnated? You don't care what happens to you. You are not careful to take the word into your life, meditate on it, and let it reflect in your life. Number five is a mindset that is focused or divided. Focus mindsets do not allow things to distract them. They do not allow criticisms to make them digress. If people don't believe in them, they believe in themselves, especially when they know that what they are believing lines up with the word of God. So they cannot be divided. They are very focused, and they remain focused until they have achieved. Number six, it's a mindset of submission or arrogance. For some people, they can never stay under authority. They create their own authority in their mind because they cannot stay under any authority. For me, the funny thing I see about it is that they expect that somebody will submit to them. But you see, in the hierarchy of God, it is when you are submitted to God and are submitted to the authority of God that even God protects you. And it is then that God raises you and causes other people to come and serve under you. So there are some people, they don't want to serve anybody. They want to serve their own self. They want to become master of their own. If they are mechanics, whatever mechanics they are, auto mechanic, or they are into carpentry, they don't submit to anybody, even in ministry. They don't. They are master to themselves. Now, a certain mindset can defeat you. That mindset can make you achieve. Now, the next point, which is number seven, is a mindset of an achiever or a mediocre person. A mediocre person is one who doesn't go above average, who doesn't go above the normal, who doesn't go above what is commonplace. But an achiever is one who wants to excel and go beyond the normal, go beyond the ordinary, go beyond where the forebears went, and push forward until the glory of God is seen. Oh, shout amen to God's glory. Number eight, you have a mindset of a perseverer, one who perseveres, or a mindset of one who easily gives up. To persevere, you have to be resilient. You have to have the capacity to bounce back when things knock you down. You have to have the capacity to regain your composure and get back into the same battle, and this time be determined to win. So that enables you to push forward, to press on until you see glory. But there are some that they give up very easily. As soon as a slight opposition, they give up and then they resign. So you can see it from their daily attitude. There are certain things that when you talk to them about, they say, oh, they don't know. No, they may have resigned in their minds. Their whole attitude to the service of God, their whole attitude to worship, their whole attitude and commitment to the things of God is very casual. They are nonchalant. They are disenchanted. They are just there. They are just there to be there. Nothing bothers them. No aspiration to achieve higher. No aspiration to rise to higher heights. No aspiration to press forward and overcome what overcame them yesterday. But they are just there. Number nine, a mindset to be intelligent or non-intelligent is a choice. You see, to be wise or not wise is your choice. The Bible says that if you teach a wise man, he will increase in knowledge. So if you teach him one thing, he will go and research and add some more good things to what he or she may have learned. Can I hear an amen? Number 10, I have just said it, a choice to be wise or foolish. The previous one was intelligent or not intelligent. Number 11 is a mindset of possibilities or a mindset of limitations. I have tried and tried and tried and it's not working. So now I have given up. At no stage should you give up in life. Can I hear an amen? At no stage should you throw up your arms in despair. At no stage should you say that now the die is cast and nothing else will work. And as for me, I'm just there and to be tossed about by the wind. And anywhere the wind takes me, I will go. No, 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 no. That's not what it's supposed to be. You have to have a mindset. And that should be that of possibilities. There may seem to be closed avenues. But you go back to God and ask, what can we do? You may be at the Red Sea and not have the ability to cross it. And you may see Pharaoh's army coming from behind you. Instead of complaining, lift your voice to God. He will tell Moses that he should take the rod and stretch it over the waters. And when Moses does it, God, who had laid a foundation at the bottom of the river, according to the Psalms, will just establish what is already there and make a way where there is no way. I want you to clap. I want you to clap. Whichever country you travel to go and look for greener pastures, you must have a possibility mentality. So while you're in your own country, think that there are multiple possibilities. And one day you are going to get into one, because you're going to search and seek the face of God while you press on until God makes it possible. So it is possible for you to rise again. I'm prophesying to something. It is possible for you to prosper. It is possible for you to have enlargement of coast and territory. It is possible for you to be restored better than before. It is possible for you to have the victory and to see the glory of God come to pass. You must have a possibility mentality and stop participating in conversations which create impossibilities around your mind. Now, if you don't have possibility mentality, then you have a limitations mentality. You're going to have a limitations mentality. When we were young, there was a lot of storytelling where we lived, in some communities where we lived. And some people were very good storytellers. And much of their stories created fear. How somebody was in the dark and suddenly something came to arrest the person and took the person away. So while growing up, we feared the dark. For instance, when I was like 8 years old, 9 years old, if he sent me to the bedroom at night and the lights were out, I rushed into the room as if Sasabonsan would catch me there. And I came out with lightning speed. And I noticed that all my 5 brothers, that's what we did. If there was anything and there was a little darkness, like Obaye timing, wow. I say, on your marks, get ready, go. And then you rush and pick what you want to pick. Come out, gasping for breath. I say, Mr. Sasabonsam was there. But my children never had that. If you came to my house and said, oh, blender will catch you, I'll stop you. Because you are putting fear into the child. If you say police will catch you, I'll stop you. You can't say that. You have no right to say that. So my children never heard some of those stories. Some of those fables. They never heard them. So they were never afraid of darkness. And they will walk into the darkness confidently and pick the thing. And I say, hey, these children have more confidence than me. Because me, I just pick. Oh, how many were doing that when they were young? Yeah. Oh, you people, you didn't do that. We didn't like darkness. We were afraid of it. But my children never heard that story. So it never disturbed them. It never bothered them. Now, you can have limitations in your mind. And although there is nothing there, you still have the limitation. Do you remember what happened in Samaria? When Israel were there, when they were besieged by the Assyrians, and the little they had ran out completely, and there was shortage of food and other materials that they needed to sustain their lives. And these Assyrians were determined not to leave until the four lepers who were suffering the same fate as the people in the city decided that whether we stay here, we would die. And if we go near the city, we would die. Why do we stay here to die? I would rather move toward the city so that I would be successful. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Those that become successful in wealth creation are not afraid to fail. Can I say it again? Those that become eventually successful in wealth creation are not afraid to take risk, and they are not afraid to fail. They will pick themselves up. They may start by selling bananas, and if it doesn't work, they will go to oranges. If it doesn't work, they will come to pure water, but somehow favor will find them. And something will change in their lives. They are not afraid to try. They are not afraid to fail. And they never label themselves as failures. They just see failure as an event. And if they apply a new event, they could be successful and they would move on. Shout amen. So one of the greatest limitations you can have is in your mind. And that was the limitation that Israel had after they had left Egypt. With the slightest difficulty, they said, where we in Egypt would have had garlics, would have had onions, would have had cucumber, would have had all those things. Why are we here and we're in the wilderness and there's always shortage of this and shortage of that? Let us elect our own leader and let us turn in the opposite direction and let us head into Egypt once again. These are ungrateful people. 430 years, many generations were born in this. They were so ungrateful that they said they were going back. If you leave your father's house and your mother's house and you get married, look forward. I didn't hear an amen. Look forward, because there's nothing behind. At the Red Sea, God said, go forward. There is nothing to go back for in your house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you don't want to try, then you'll be stuck where you are. If you don't want to take any risk, then you'll be stuck where you are. You need to renew your mind and change your mindset. Let me hear an amen. We all talk about Hannah as if it was the first year of her marriage that she didn't achieve pregnancy and childbirth. But she had been in the marriage and her rival had had many children. So it wasn't like the first or second or third year, because her rival had many children. And instead of resigning and saying that, I've tried, we've been praying and it didn't work, Hannah went into the temple. The same thing that was seemingly defeating her was the same thing that she went at. She said, I've tried in time past, but I'll pick myself up and try again. She said, I know the method of winning, and it is the same method, just that I didn't hit the water table. And I'll keep digging until water comes out of the ground. And Hannah went into the temple. She sought the face of God. A priest came by and thought she was drunk. And the priest said, let it be unto you according to your faith. Today, let it be unto you according to the request you have made to God. According to the request that line up with the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. And God heard Hannah's prayer. And God gave Hannah a mighty son. After that, Hannah had other children. May your testimony just not be Samuel, but may your testimony have brothers and sisters. Many more breakthroughs. Can I hear an amen from somebody? The leper said, if we sit here, we would die. In other words, they were outside the camp. They were far away from the city of Samaria, and they knew that their supplies came from the city. So now that the city had no supplies, it was as if they would die of hunger. But then again, they thought, they said, if we sit here, we'll die. And if we move toward the city, we'll die. It's the same die. All die, be die. So why don't you make an effort toward the city? And he said, peradventure, God would do a miracle. It was when they were walking, lepers, I'm sure their toes had been eaten away by a virus. And it was when they were walking toward the place that God magnified their footsteps. Get back into the prayer closet. God will magnify your voice and bring more supernatural power to your voice. That what you couldn't destroy yesterday, God will help you destroy today. The enemy you couldn't defeat yesterday, God will help you defeat him today. And the victory that you couldn't take yesterday, today is ordained for you to take that victory. As they were moving toward the city, because they changed their minds not to be stagnant, God heard their prayer and God answered them. If you know your prayer has been heard and your mindset is being renewed, clap the loudest and shout the biggest to God's glory. Now, there are some factors that influence your mindset. The kind of mindset that you have does not happen by chance. But there are some factors that will affect, amen, that will affect your mindset. The first one is your background. Your background, I'm talking about where you had your childhood experiences. And I'm talking about the parental influence on your life, including maybe aunties and cousins that were around you. If you were raised in an environment where your mindset is shaped according to the word of God, you will grow up to achieve a lot. But if you were raised in the background where the mindset was terribly negative, it is going to be carried along in your life unless you do something to dramatically change your mindset. Oh, can I hear an amen? Negative mindsets can be changed. Negative attitudes can be changed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye changed, transformed, transfigured, metamorphosed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the changing of your mindset. A lot can change in your life when you change your thinking. Oh, let me hear better. Amen. A lot can change in your life when you change your thinking. So your background, there may have been your grandparents, there may have been some uncles and aunties around, there may have been your own influence from your parents and some childhood experiences you may have had. So your background. Number two is your culture. The culture is the environment in which you find yourself and what people do. So if the culture you live in, people don't work and they get up and they go under the neem tree to drink pito the whole day, or they drink palm wine the whole day, you are growing up in a certain culture. If the culture is that people don't work to achieve, you may cultivate the same culture. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So there are, in a country, you may have cultures in different cities. And even in the cities, you can have subculture in some places. In some places, they believe that by the time you are 17, you must have a baby outside marriage. Otherwise, you are not a woman. So there's pressure on you because every 16, 17-year-old is carrying a baby around. So there's a certain culture there, but you must plan for the child to come. And it must be in a holy matrimonial union so that you cater for the child and you bring up the child properly. But you find that the father is living at this place and the mother is living far away at that other place. And the influence of both parents is not brought to bear on the child. Later on, when I hear people in life, the father of the children, I have questions to ask you from the beginning. In the beginning, what happened? That's what you traded for. That's what you asked for. Now you are complaining after you've had what you asked for. Oh, me and Tawa, no ko beef keken Tawa. Say amen to God's glory. So, in short, we are saying that your culture, the work ethic, the way people carry themselves, culture means your way of living. Number three, your associations. These are factors that influence the way you think. Your associations, your friends, your business partners, your colleagues in your study group at school. The Bible says, walk with the wise and you will be wise. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, just as a brother sharpeneth the countenance of a neighbor. Number four, the books you read. Some of us are not reading any books. There are old books that you may have read that may have influenced you. Once a while, you can go to the old books, but there are new books in the market. So you read the old, but you seek for the new and find what understanding you can get. So you try, even if it's a small literature, read something. Don't go on the internet and look at pictures. So, but get into reading something. Read biographies of people who started as nobodies and succeeded. Like Maya Angelou, she was a prostitute at the beginning, but she got PhD. She became a top personality in the U.S. Great poet before she died. Can I hear an amen? Even the Bible gives you some biographies of people who were nobodies and God picked them up from the backside of the desert, prepared them, anointed them, and God began to use them. Amen. So read about how that guy came to start the KFC. Read about how this other person started Zoom Lion. Read about biographies and see the challenges they went through and how they overcame them at successive stages. And today God has made them what they are. You can't be in life and not read at all. Where you are, there must be a culture of reading. We can start with even newspapers for our children. While we drive them to work, instead of they fighting and talking, in my car, I'll buy the newspaper and toss it to the back. No talking, no quarreling, no fighting. Read what is in the newspapers, because we'll analyze it. We'll be driving on the motorway. I have bought the newspaper already. Then I toss it to the back. Or every day your children are fighting. When will the fight end in the car? If somebody's children are doing well, you say, oh, it's as if it's magic. No. Establish the culture of reading. You yourself, you must pick books and read. I like the number five, your education. So I'm still on the points that have to do with the factors that influence your mindset. Your education. Your education is important. It may be formal or informal. It may be an apprentice somewhere. Or it may be in a formal institution where you go to a school, you are taught, you prepare for exams, you write the exams, and all these things add to your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. After Paul was called, he read many books. Before then, he had been educated and was a strong legal brain. So there are things you will study in school about management. You will study some business law. You will study some business ethics. You will study a little psychology about children. It will help you at home later. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So the pastoral calling must not be anti-scholarship. When I say anti-scholarship, it must not be against formal education. We can have training in a tertiary institution that we are doing a certificate program, a diploma, or a first or second or third degree, whatever it is that we want to pursue. And these things add value to us. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes the knowledge you get puts you in a managerial capacity. It helps you with your communication. It helps you with the different kinds of people that you handle. And the quality of education that we get determines whether we'll just be consumers or we'll be innovators. We are creative and we are building technology. Let me hear an amen. Amen. The education you get must build you as an entrepreneur. There are people who have the capacity to start their own business and run it and maintain it successfully. So they identify an area, they prepare themselves, they groom themselves and they move into the area very boldly until they achieve what they must achieve. So tell the person seated to you, education is very important. Pastors need on-the-job training. So at a stage, there should be time set for training. Picking the scriptures to preach in power, fantastic. Transforming lives by preaching in power, amazing. But you must lend yourself to some refresher course and allow something to influence you further to equip you. Put your hands together. I remember A pastor friend was going to do a seminar on the trends in the digital world. So he invited me and said I could come with some people. So I invited some of the church members. When we went there, it was like scales being taken off my eyes, because somebody had studied the area so well and was teaching us how to situate ourselves to market Jesus Christ in the place. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. From that day, I changed and I began to look at things differently. And we had the onset of COVID and other things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So education is needed. Don't say, what am I going to do with education? Even you yourself, it will help you. It will change you. Are you not amazed that somebody doesn't know anything about medicine, about medication, about diagnosis, about prognosis, doesn't know anything about it? Yet, for 6 years in an academic institution, plus some internship for a year or two, and then the person is called into the Ghana Medical Association or whatever, the person suddenly can treat people, including you. The power of education can take an ordinary person who is afraid of lizards and make the person great to work with dead bodies. Somebody who doesn't know how a machine works is ticking and becomes a computer engineer and becomes an electrical engineer, and he knows how all those things are working. And when there's a fault, he locates it on the line and say, open this part, let's treat it. And then they handle it. There's a power of education. And when you have it, my mother used to tell us that when you have education, you will not need anybody. We were going through challenges. The background was difficult. And money was scarce. And food was not always available. And clothing you could not get to put on your back. But mommy kept saying that when you get education, you'll get a good job. You can walk to the bank, pick a loan, buy a land, buy a car, build a house, because you have education. And church, we can't bring forth, and our children have no education. I remember when we were young, we were worshiping in the church, and then a woman came forward and said she wanted to be prayed for. She wanted us to pray for the son. And we said, what do you want God to do for the son? And what she said shocked all of us. She said, Mintoni Asian school kunevaya kone eagbelo e shikene ya minima mayi. I want my child to drop out of school, become a fisherman, go for a catch, fry the fish that I may have Canaan to eat. The whole mind of a mother was akpilu. Edangole. The mentality is poor. The mentality is low. And this thing of, oh, come on, let me not say it. Say amen. See, sometimes you must control your lips. At another time, you say it better. So number one factor that influences your mindset is your background. Number two, your culture. Number three, your associations. Number four, the books you read. Number five, your education. Number six, your mentors. Your mentors. There are people who have gone through the path you are about to go through. They have achieved at a certain level. And these are people who act as coaches. You can look up to them, and periodically they draw you closer to share some things with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you can have a mentor as an auto mechanic or as a carpenter or as a mason that this person has achieved, and always get contrast. You want to find out what is the secret of making this person have contracts. Is it that he says what he does, what he says, and he delivers on time, and he has a gentle attitude, and he's able to negotiate very well? What does he do to get the contracts? Is it a minister of the gospel? What is it that has put him where he is? And you are understanding the person, and you are picking those good things which you need so that they change your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Timothy was mentored by the grandmother. The grandmother mentored the mother, and the mother mentored Timothy. And it's important for you to have a mentor. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, can I hear an amen? Amen? Some mentors can be in the books. You read and you are so energized that this guy is a great evangelist, this guy is a great prophet, this guy is a great teacher, and you study the right principles that line up with the word of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's good to have hands laid on you, but it's also better to study the principles that got the person to the place. The Bible says, "Be ye followers of them who through faith and patience have arrived at where they are." I believe every young marriage must be mentored by an older marriage. That when the people have a challenge, they can run to either the husband or wife of an older marriage, and that they can have conversations with them and not make the mistakes that that older couple made. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Otherwise, you go and make your own mistakes, and you make horrible mistakes that cannot be redeemed. And the other partner was saying, "I think I've had enough. I think I've had enough. I'm going away." A young woman got angry with her husband. She went straight to the passport office to change her name in her passport. The new name of the husband that she had acquired. She went straight and requested for a new passport and changed the name and took a shot of it and sent it to the husband wherever he was. You see, this is a prophetic action. After you have taken this prophetic action, then you come for me to come and reverse it. Control your anger. Tell the next person, control your anger. And learn to be patient. And stop running around. Otherwise, you will marry about 7 times before Christ comes. I was talking to someone, a young man, you know, fairly old, and he said, "I made mistakes, but God kept our marriage, and I learned from the mistakes." I didn't hear an amen. So number one thing that influences your mindset is what? Your background. Number two, your culture. Three, associations. 4, books you read. 5, education. And 6, mentors. Whatever your mindset you carry determines the level of success in your life or otherwise. If your mindset is good enough, gradually you'll be inching closer to good success. The reason why God asks Joshua to meditate on these things day and night and to learn to be obedient to the word of God It's because God wanted him to create a culture of proper thinking in his mind, so that Joshua will have in his attitude the right behavior and do things well. You can never achieve financial freedom unless you have the right frame of mind. Financial dependence means when you are growing up, as a young person, as a child, you depend on your parents. But there is a stage where you become independent. The Bible says, and Moses refused to be called the child of Pharaoh's daughter because he was asserting his independence so that he would build resources of his own. And I want you to know, if you don't think independently to develop finances independently, you become dependent. And sometimes being dependent can be embarrassing, because sometimes you hear things that you shouldn't hear. People will say things to you that they shouldn't say. People will show attitudes against you, and you'll be very hurt. You say, can you be here? Gosh, need to me. So decide there that I need help, and there's nothing wrong with help, but I'm working toward a goal that I'll be financially independent, even in my old age. You know, in some homes, if there's going to be a wedding and the son is going to marry another woman, daughter of another person, the parents will say, imbe mama ai. Oh. Imbe tukuta ai. I haven't got a cloth. I have no shoes. I understand you. Maybe you are retired. But you are hearing the word now. So you build a financial life that makes you independent. Nobody is too small to build an independent financial life. And nobody is too old to build an independent financial life. If you have it at the back of your mind, you would do it. I told you there was a time that before 31st December, I told myself I should owe nobody. If I owe, then it should be a bank. And I worked hard at it. First year, I didn't achieve my. Second year, I didn't achieve my. But by the seventh year, I will owe nothing at 31st December and transition into the following year. As for bank, if I owe it, it's nothing. Then I started working in the direction of the banks as well. You can't be a slave all the time. And every time 31st December is there, people are saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are carrying indebtedness into the following year. Is that how to start a year? Set your mind. Change things. Some of you even go and borrow 31st December. Can I hear an amen? A time is coming that you may be assisted to do something. But another time is coming when you'll be able to do it by yourself. You will sponsor it. You will finance it. It will just happen in your life. I like people who have that mindset and it hasn't materialized yet. When you meet them, you can know. They have the mindset. It hasn't materialized yet, but they are working at it. But the others, they don't have it at all. Sometimes they are like a bottomless pit. Oh. Lift up your right hand and say this one loud, louder than me. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the grace of God, I declare I am achieving financial independence. And I'll be able to finance and fund everything by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am independent in Jesus' name. I'm not saying by that, if you need help, don't ask for it. You may die if you don't get help. There's nothing evil about help. God will make some people stand and support. But I'm saying cultivate a mindset, just the mindset, that you are getting independent. And when you get there, the grace of God will establish it. Come on, clap for Jesus. Come on. In order to create wealth, you need a mindset of wealth creation. And this will be determined by your perception, your inclination, your beliefs, your passion, your attitude. In Psalm 78 verse 9, we've used it at different instances. It's about the children of Ephraim. Psalm 78 and verse 9, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. You see, Israel was in covenant with God. And God has been the greatest warrior in history. When God is in the battle and you have everything right, you are sure to win. The bows that Israel had was like tanks and war planes. When it was the day of battle that they needed to go forward, they turned their backs. Look at Ukraine. When Russia had a whole, about, is it 3 or 10 miles long of, you know, they had lined up tanks and were entering Ukraine. It was frightening. If you look at the Russian army compared to the Ukrainian army, if you look at the military might of Russia, it should have been frightening. The president of Ukraine had tried negotiating with the Russian president, but it wasn't working. And the day the Russians attacked Ukraine, Ukraine said, "Let no male leave the country. We will all take arms. And we will fight back." They have been fighting back since. And Russia thought that within 1 month, they would have overrun the people. They've had casualties. They've lost a lot. If these people had guests on warplanes, Russia could be in trouble. And they may have many more casualties. Ephraim was armed. Yet when it came to the day of battle, their mindset was wrong. That's why military generals are important. That is why football coaches are important. That is why mentors are important, because they will tell you, go back at the thing. When we used to live in Kumasi, there was this lady who was a student in the university, and it was her final year. She had been depressed throughout the first semester. And she had not been able to focus on her studies. So she knew if she went in for the exams, she would not do well. I had gone to preach on campus, so she found a way of locating me. And when she came to where we lived, she sat and began to weep and said, "Reverend, I can't write the paper." I said, "Madam, you will write the paper." She said, "Reverend, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not prepared. The whole semester, my mind has been divided. I have not been able to focus. I have not read more than a few chapters." I said, "You are going to write. You have 2 weeks away from the paper. Is that not it? God is able to accomplish much more with you within 2 weeks." And come on. She went to write the paper, and she did very well in all the papers. She was not referred in one. I'll give you another example. There was this law student at the University of Ghana. Her big brother was one of the top ministers of the gospel in the city. And she had some pulsating headache. I see there's a chisel on her head and somebody is driving the chisel into it. She cannot focus. She cannot drink water. She cannot eat. And she will be rolling on the floor. And you imagine that this elder brother has such anointing and we just lay hands and this headache will disappear. But sometimes we ministers, it's quite a challenge to deal with people who are emotionally close to you. So they will bring this lady to where we were living. And that she will come in with a friend of hers to come and live in one of the rooms. And sometimes at 1 a.m. she will crawl and knock on your door. Then we would come out and say, Reverend, I can't. I feel like giving up. And then we will lay hands, pray for the next 1 hour. She will have some relief. And then it was the day before exams will start. Sunday night. Exam starts Monday. Student of law studied nothing 1 month before the paper. I said, you will write the paper. When you get to the exam center, tell them that you are not yourself. So they must find a way of handling you. So when she went, they isolated her from the main exam hall and they gave her an office and a supervisor. And they gave her the same time. When she finished, I said, how was the paper? She says, I managed. And she wrote all the papers. Apart from the first paper that she had B+, the rest of the papers she got A's. And she made a first class. Oh, you're not clapping. Tell the next person, you can do it. You can do it. No matter what age, no matter how short the time is, you can do it. You have to convince yourself. When the grades came, her headache had left long ago. And she was smiling. She came with a friend and said, oh, Reverend, what shall we do for you? I said, let's give glory to God. You can do more than you thought you could do. A little depression will not steal 1 year from you. Organize yourself. Be determined. Be resilient. Come back. Your mindset can make you stay down. Or your mindset can bring you up. Your mindset can make you achieve a lot. Or your mindset can make you feel like a failure. And you will even regret growing old. Some of us started with nothing. Because by 13, mom and dad had divorced. And daddy was living in his place. We were living in a separate place. Finances to support us were not coming. Mom had a cardiac problem. She was working in the bank. She resigned prematurely. The little entitlement just got finished. Clothes were not available. Food was scantily provided. And we had to go to school. 6 boys. I want you to know that you are the person that can stop yourself. And that if you decide that you will rise to the top, you will rise to the top. Oh, I thought you would have clapped and shouted loud. Oh, I want to be an MP. The way you need to campaign, door to door, get food soldiers. Spend money printing handbills, printing banners, and large billboards. Go and hire platforms. Bring a few musicians, Kolomashi musicians. Stand on the platform
and campaign
I met somebody the other day. He wants to be an MP. He has tried the first time, he didn't succeed. Tried the second time and tried the third time. I asked him, will you go? He said, I'll go again. One term is 4 years. So 12 years is like going down the drain. He could be doing something else in the meantime to raise money. After being an MP, you are likely not employable, except you have your own business. And do you want to come and live a mystery after being an MP? No. Set your mind properly that where you are seated, God can prosper you. If you want to be an MP just for self-actualization, you know, lots of these people, they have accomplished things already. They finish with what they need. But they just want this as a crossing a T and a dot on their CV. But poor man, you don't go to MP, become an MP. Poor person. Are you getting blessed? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Are you really getting blessed? Then let's see a clap that goes to the throne of God. Finally, let me go to this scripture. Finally, and I'm looking at Matthew. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 5. I'm looking at the man at the pool of Bethesda. Matthew chapter 5. Are you there? Oh. Respond with strength. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Before verse 5, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there for so long a time, in that case, he saith unto him, will thou be made whole? Or do you want to be well? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Do you want to be made well? So, no. He says, Sir, I have no man. And when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, while I'm coming, another stepped down before me. Do you want to be made whole? Sir, when the angel comes to disturb the water, and I'm about to step in, another overtakes me and steps in. Jesus realized the frame of mind was wrong. The frame of mind was wrong. Don't have a frame of mind. Otherwise, you could remain by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Don't get the frame of mind. Get the frame of mind that takes you forward. get a frame of mind that makes you advance and progress to higher heights of glory. Get that frame of mind that you will serve today, but you will keep your eyes on the double anointing. Change your frame of mind. Change it. God has great things for you. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Young people, this is what some of the advocates to divorce don't like. We are saying, examine the choice you make carefully. Seek the face of God. Seek knowledge before you make a choice for marriage. And when you enter, stay in. The advocates are saying, you can choose carelessly. And if it doesn't work, check out. If you make a good choice and you also work on yourself, you'll be a happy man or woman in marriage. Can you please rise to your feet? Today I came to speak to your mind. Today I came to stir your spirit. Today I came to talk to you to change your location by changing your mindset. I came to declare to you that there are possibilities and it's possible to achieve your goals, achieve your targets. Can I declare to you that God would do tremendously big things this year in our lives? Shout amen, everybody. You may not have now, but abundance is coming. Amen. You may have been deprived yesterday, but God is about to enthrone you. Amen. You may have lost a lot, but God is restoring you. Amen. You may have been disinherited and rejected, but Jephthah will come back to the city to lead the people to war. Amen. And he will be their king. Have a right mindset. If Jephthah was depressed, he would never have come back to rule over his people. The son of a prostitute who was rejected that he had no inheritance in a family. Now he came to inherit a whole city. If somebody fails to give you something small you need, don't curse the person. And don't feel sorry for yourself. Look beyond what you asked. And go to the God whose resources never deplete. And ask God to honor you and beautify you and glorify you. I remember an uncle. I've told you this story many times. He did well. He was rich, very rich when he was very young. In his early 20s. He had had tremendous successes. By mid-20s, he had built houses. Those days, you couldn't build that way. Then I remember my mother used to send us to go to his workplace so that at least we'll have something to have breakfast because there was no food. He did his best. He was human. One day when I went, he frowned. I sat there for hours. And things didn't work out. I came back to mommy and said, I will never go there again because it's too humiliating. I will never go there again. So around this time, I was in secondary form 2. He never saw me till I finished my first degree in university. He never saw me till I got married. He never saw me till I had children and had made my first international trip. I think about 5 months after we got married, we traveled abroad. So I made my first international trip. And when I came back, those days when they say you are wearing St. Michael, then you are wearing something. I had a St. Michael pair of trousers with a certain logo somewhere. Metal logo. And that trousers came with a belt of the same fabric. I had a shirt well starched and ironed, and my shoes were polished, and you could see your face in it. I drove a car. It was a BMW. It was not in town. And I arrived at my auntie's house, and I got down and went to greet my auntie so that at least I would say thank you for having supported us. Then I met my uncle there, and he got up as if chachun echeleye semi, and he got up to greet me, shook hands, and stood for some time before he sat down. Then after about 20 minutes, he left the place. Then my auntie drew closer to me and sat by me and said, "Why did your uncle get up to greet you when you came in?" She didn't ask it in a bad spirit. I smiled and I said, "I don't know." I knew the reason why. Because some guilt had come on him. That some people I could have helped, I didn't help them. And God had opened the door for the guy that he was wearing a St. Michael's pair of trousers. I see somebody. I see some doors. Don't be angry with anybody. Don't be bitter with anybody. Don't be resentful against anybody. God is going to prepare you, and he's going to present you back to them that did not help you for one reason or the other. There I learned that there is a time that God will break you away from something. Yeah. Yeah. He was a help. May God bless him. Yeah, may God bless him. He was a great help. But human as he was, he got to his peak and couldn't continue. But that's when we had to lean on God the more. Oh, come on, put your hands together. When a door closes, it's an indication that God wants you to totally lean on him. Totally, totally. For your resources, for your wealth. Today, that same person cannot send me texts and say I'm in need. Yeah. Am I not looking fine? But I was rejected. We had nothing. But God is a faithful God. May he reward you. May he be gracious to your life. I bless you. Let's clap. Let's rejoice. I'll finish my message. Oh, let's just be clapping. Let's just be clapping. Let's just be clapping.